You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
All roads lead to the Purple Project Podcast.
Triple P is all about the happenings across Kansas State Athletics in Manhattan, Kansas.
Football, basketball, and everything else in between. K-State is ready to compete with top teams among the Big 12 Conference.
The kickoff of the Purple Project Podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what's going on? Eddie Greer, your host, back for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Playing two this week. First episode of the week here as we record on this Monday night. This episode won't come out until Wednesday night. This is episode 126 of the Purple Project Podcast, all about covering all things K-State here in chilly Manhattan, Kansas, as the weather finally cooling off here in Manhattan, Kansas. Before I bring on my co-host on as usual for the weekly podcast, again, if you're new to the show, welcome on board to the show. This is a perfect time. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, make sure you subscribe. Do all the podcast things, like, subscribe, do all that, whether you listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Amazon, and a few others out there as well. Make sure you are add this podcast, the Purple Project Podcast, to your collection of K-State podcasts out there. And we're the only podcast to post daily content every day. So if you want more K-State content other than football and basketball, definitely this is the place to do it. But on this episode tonight, we will focus solely on basketball as we are closing in 2 weeks away, 14 days exactly, until the men head coach Jerome Tang. His debut won't be officially until November 11th, but his team will hit the court in one exhibition game on November 1st. We will go through the entire schedule of men's basketball. And over the summer, we did go over the women's basketball on the conference side of things. We will take a look at their difficult non-con as well tonight on episode 126. Now it's time to bring on my co-host as usual for the Pearl Project Podcast Weekly Edition out there in San Diego, California, where I'm pretty sure it's hopping out there with excitement. Alex Aiden. Alex, what's happening out there?
Oh, it's hopping. I know. You best believe it's hopping in San Diego. First off, I do have to say, Eddie, send my condolences to your Braves. I know that was a tough series against the Phillies. I don't know if it's any consolation or not, but at least for me, I know when the Royals won the World Series, it stung in 2016 when they weren't able to get back. But I don't know. I still felt the wave of the 2015 World Series a little bit. It kind of helped a little bit. The same thing with the Chiefs. You know, they won the Super Bowl in 2020. And then they made it back in 2021 and lost to the Bucks. It sucked. It was a kick to the Nads. But, you know, I still knew that they got it a year before and that they'd be back again. So, condolences to your Braves, but they will be back. They will absolutely be back with the roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have the same feelings. Yeah, it definitely has a kick in the nuts for sure. They're definitely dealing with Philadelphia. They outplayed us, especially in Philadelphia with a raucous crowd. They haven't been there in some 12 years in the postseason, and that crowd was something else. But if we didn't win it last year, then I'll be even more pissed off. But I am mellow of it. Yes, it's disappointing, but I know we've signed pretty much most of our core back, except. We do need to fill some holes, no doubt. We need to resign Dansby. I know that's the number one priority right now. But I know this core, they're going to be hungry next year for sure. So, but, hey, you got to get credit to the Phillies, man, from the wild card spot. These guys were battling just to get in the playoffs. And actually, the Braves, Mets, and Dodgers don't see deep in the NLCS at all. So these records don't mean shit whatsoever. To put it bluntly, there, like everyone says, I mean, you have to play your best baseball at the right time, and the Phillies are pulling us what we did last year. So congrats to them, and the Padres, they came from the same place, the wild card, where they took down the Mets there in New York, and then you turn around and you beat your division rival, the Dodgers. And now you have, who would have put on your bingo card, Alex, Padres, Phillies, and for the NLCS? Sure as hell not me.
Yo, you really? You didn't have that on your bingo card?
Hell no.
I would have had the Padres on the bingo card prior to the suspension. If I thought Tatis was going to be coming back, and that they would have Fernando Tatis Jr. with Juan Soto and with Manny Machado and Josh Bell and Brandon Drury and Jake Cronenworth and that whole staff. You know, if they had all of that combined with pitching, then I'd be like, okay, that's a team that absolutely could go to the World Series with the World Series. This team that they have with some of the injuries, and obviously not having Tatis, I assumed that they were really going to make the World Series push next year. That was really kind of what I thought was going to happen, because I do expect the Padres to be a better baseball team next year with Tatis back and with all these pieces back that they have this year. Just with A.J. Preller's, just kind of the way that he approaches it, you know he's going to probably take some more swings this offseason to even bolster the team up even more. So that was my assumption, was that was going to be what happened. But they got hot, and it was the same thing with the Phillies. The Phillies got hot. The Padres got hot. It's all about getting hot at the right time in the MLB playoffs, which make them it's probably the most fascinating. When you look across the landscape, Eddie, what's the most fascinating on playoffs? Like, what sport has the most fascinating playoffs? I think baseball's right up there at the top, because it's so unpredictable. I mean, it is a truly unpredictable playoff field. You really don't know what's going to happen. I think that's a little bit different than the NFL, a little bit different than the NBA, a lot different than the NBA. The NBA is pretty predictable, and it's a lot different than college. College is the most predictable. My gosh, you can tell you who's going to be top four every year, who's going to win. It's going to be Bama or Georgia or something like that. I mean, you pretty much know, but baseball's not like that. So, yeah, you got the Padres. It's hopping out here in San Diego. It's hopping out there in Philly. And look, you know, as you look at these two teams, I think the Padres is the better team. And so we'll see if they can win it in 7. They have home field as well. So I think that will definitely play a factor in the series. You've looked at the home fields in Philly and San Diego. So going to be interesting to see what happens there. The AL looks like it may be more chalk, because you have the Astros who are going to the ALCS, and then the Yankees and Guardians are playing in Game 5, so tomorrow. So if the Yankees win that, you'll get Yankees-Astros, which probably we all would have predicted that. If you get the Guardians, that'll be a bit of a surprise, but we'll see. But yeah, so San Diego's hopping out here. Definitely excited about the Padres, rightfully so. And we shall see. We shall see what happens there. But in the meantime, I think in the K-State world, Tulane's ranked. So K-State now can say their only loss to a ranked team. There we go, in football. And just quick, I just wanted to give kudos to the men's golf team. I know you've talked about them a little bit on on your dailies, but we talked about this last on the show. But you finished first to 15th, right? The Walkap Invitational there at Colbert Hills. And then you have the Old Town Collegiate down there in North Carolina. And you finish first, 12 there. And then you play the Oregon State Invitational up in Corvallis. And you finish first, 15. So you win 3 in a row. And then you come to Texas and for the Big 12 Match Championship. And then you open match play with a winner of Texas. So golf team is right time, man. They are on fire. We shall see. I'm going to say keep it up, but they deserve a shout out. They deserve a shout out for really just being on a tear right now. And it'll be interesting to see if they can continue that momentum But things are going. Things are moving for them, and really working well, and they're playing good. And then also, Eddie, shout out to the women's soccer team, man. They scored 2 goals. Hey, they got 2 goals against Oklahoma, and went 2-1. So it's a little momentum, man. They've won 2 of 3 in Big 12 play. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Not me. So. Shout out to them too. But as you mentioned, today is all basketball, and we've got a schedule, a big old meaty schedule to go down for these last place cats, according to apparently the coaches in the Big 12 who voted them last place in the preseason poll. So I'm eager to go through that schedule, kind of break down this basketball season and kind of what things are looking like, because it's going to be really interesting going into this year. Because there's just so much unknown and so many different ways this season could swing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Before we dive on into that quickly here, Alex mentioned the golf team. Yep, right on cue with that. They took the as we're recording here on this Monday night, October 17th. The Big 12 match play will end on Wednesday. So when this comes out, this will be old news, but we have to bring it up anyways because this is important. Yes, Alex is spot on. The golf team down in Hockley, Texas, takes down the home state, one of the home state teams, Texas, number 21st Texas at that, 4-2 in that match today. Lawrence Rydren won his match 6-4. Luke O'Neill won his as well, 4-3. And Tim Tillmans also won his match 3-2. As well, Cooper Schultz, the men's golfer of the month back in September, lost his match by 2. And then, let's see, Mason, he lost 2-1 as well. But 3 wins out of 2, not too shabby at all for head coach Grant Robbins and his men's golf team, who has been red hot from the start. They have not cooled off one bit at all. So now they'll head into day 2 tomorrow as we're sitting here recording this podcast. It'll be on a Tuesday tomorrow morning, early, 8 a.m. there. They're going to be facing the number 1 seed in Texas Tech there. And then in the afternoon, it seems to be a TCU week. Numbers 8 seed TCU, K-State will have to take on them in the afternoon round after, of course, if you go back over the weekend, I just finished recording a daily that's going to go up tomorrow, recapping K-State's back-breaking loss to TCU after being up 2-0 in women's volleyball over the weekend. Bad loss for them. I'm not going to say any more of that because I have a lot more to say on the daily podcast there as well. So make sure you are subscribed and check that out tomorrow morning, which by the time this podcast comes out, you guys should have already listened to it. Speaking of existence there. Boy, we got a lot of stuff going on. And, of course, Alex mentioned soccer as well. That's the second time in 3 matches that soccer team has scored 2 goals and won. So there you go on that. So I'm sure we'll talk more as the week goes along. And then we have something special for you on our Friday show as well. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag for you guys out there. So I know me and Alex, I'll already let Alex know what's going on there. So it's going to be a couple of firsts going on. And you already know the first one, top 25 matchup. We'll be talking about that, and you guys are going to be in for a treat as well before K-State and TCU top 20 ranked teams square off in Fort Worth. All right, folks, men's basketball. That was a mouthful there, folks. Men's basketball, Jerome Tang, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, began their season with 1 preseason game against Odo Washburn, November 1st, there at home, Bramus Coliseum. That time has been announced. Most of these are announced anyways, these times. I double-checked these. Most of these times are scheduled. 7 o'clock Central Time, Washburn, a preseason game for Jerome Tang. And then you get your season started here. Looks like it's going to be Texas Rio Grande. There's that team, Alex, from soccer. That's going to be November 7th there, 8 Central Time there. And that's going to be a doubleheader with women's basketball as well. I don't know off the top of my head. who the women play on that day, but it's going to be a doubleheader of men's and women's basketball, and I'm going to assume both games are at Bramish Coliseum. Otherwise, they won't be seeing a doubleheader there as well. And then we talked about this game, Alex, over the summer. The road trip, Cal, November 11th there. Cal, not a good record. One of the worst teams in the Pac-10 or Pac-12.
Well, they're in the Pac-10 now. I mean, yeah. well, they will be soon again.
They will be soon. And then another doubleheader in November 17th with women's basketball against good old UMKC, baby, Kansas City in Bramish Coliseum. So that's kind of a little bit of a kickstart for this team. And I'm going to go through the Cayman Islands before I let Alex chime in here. And in the next for K-State, Cayman Islands, baby, for Jerome Tang, November 21st. We actually talked about this as well this summer, so this is, shouldn't be new news to our Pearl Project podcast listeners. But Rhode Island, the first team in this classic, November 21st. That is a 7:30 tip Central Time, folks, at John Gray Gym at the Grand Cayman, Cayman Islands there. And then, of course, the winner of, well, if of course, if I'm assuming K-State will win that game, they'll play the winner of the Nevada-Tulane game, which is the following day. And then, of course, November 23rd, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, is, I would assume, the championship game in that as well. TBD, as it says on here right now, you know, as we look at the K-State schedule on kstatesports.com. Alex, what'd you think, man? Some early tests there. Obviously, we talked about Cal earlier back in the summer already. But when you go down here to the Cayman Islands Classic, I don't know the records, obviously, Nevada and Tulane. Usually Nevada actually has a good basketball team. So there's that. And there's that Tulane team again, who was ranked in football.
Redemption, baby. We're going to get redemption for football. That's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, we have to if they win that one, right? Yeah, in Rhode Island.
That's right.
I don't know much about them when it comes to basketball, so there you go.
I do not either. I do not either. And just as a little background for that Cayman Islands Classic, a couple teams that K-State could see as well, just depending on kind of the way things go, wins, losses. Western Kentucky is in that tournament. They are typically a good basketball program. And they've got a coach that many know, maybe not for great reasons. He has been known to make his way around the recruiting trails in some dirty ways, but he is known. So Western Kentucky is in there. And LSU. LSU is also going to be in that tournament. So maybe at some point you could see LSU in that tournament, just depending on the way things shake out. And LSU, very similar to K-State, got pretty much a whole new roster of players. They had a little coaching scandal situation where they ended up firing their coach, and really everybody laughed, and then they got a new coach, restocked it up. So that team is a complete question mark. Akron also is in there too. So I mean, maybe you could see them, but I think Western Kentucky and LSU would be some probables, just depending on if you end up making a far in that. But early on, at looking into the setting, first thing I noticed, and this is going to just be a real small thing, but this is a season where I probably would have liked to have two exhibition games rather than one. Some years they have one, some years they have two. It just kind of depends the way things shake out. This year it's only one. And you know, with all the new pieces, it would have been nice to have a second one, in my opinion. So, you know, would have liked that, but not the end of the world. They do have that one against Washburn, which, crazy thing, Eddie, that's in 2 weeks. That's the thing, like, that's in 2 weeks, that match.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then your opener against Rio Grande Valley, Eddie, that's in 3 weeks. I mean, we're playing our first basketball game in 3 weeks, man. Our first live basketball game in 3 weeks. Just crazy. Just crazy how quickly everything's going. But looking at Rio Grande Valley, I'm happy. I mentioned this on the pod a couple months ago. I am happy that they are opening with Rio Grande Valley and not at Cal. He did not want to open the season at Cal.
Yep, we talked about that.
Yeah. It's like, you look at that Cal game, and you're like, gosh, you need to find a way to win that game. Again, I don't know exactly what Cal is going to look like. And then in the big Pac-12 preseason rankings, I believe Cal was hit to finish near the bottom. near the bottom again, if I recall. Here it is, right here. So they were predicted to finish where? What? Well, of course. Okay. Well, of course that list is literally like the worst list in the world to look at. So okay, I don't have it up in front of me, but I would have sworn they were picked near the bottom. So that's a game that you look at it on paper, any moral of the story, you look at it on paper and you think that's a game K-State should win.
You should win that ball game.
My fear is you're traveling halfway across the country to Cal, to Berkeley, and it's your first game with a new coach and a whole new roster, and that just had all the ingredients of just a horrible, horrible situation, in my opinion. And it just was not set up for success. So you got the exhibition against Washburn to kind of, you know, iron some of the wrinkles out. And then you've got Rio Grande Valley to open things up, to actually get your feet under you and to get going. Very happy they have that before Cal. I think it actually gives them a better chance to go to Cal and have a chance to get a win there. Don't think it'll be a pretty game, but it gives them a better chance. And then you come home against UMKC. They shouldn't have an issue with them. We'll see. The Game of Lions Classic is going to be an interesting tournament, Eddie, because it's got a lot of winnable games in it. But it's also got some competition. Rhode Island, winnable match, or winnable game, but not a gimme. Not a gimme. That's a team that has won. They've won some basketball games. They've had some success as a basketball program, so you're going to be challenged in your game against Rhode Island. And depending on what happens there, I'm with you. I don't know a lot about Tulane, but I do know Nevada typically has a good basketball program every year. That would be
usually a NCAA tournament team right here.
Yeah, they're usually an NCAA tournament team every year. Again, I don't know how they're looking this year, but just on their past, they have been a good squad. And so that would be a challenge. That'd be a challenge. And like I said, I can't really speak to Tulane, but you know, the American Athletic Conference is definitely a good conference when it comes to basketball. Because you know, Houston's a good basketball school. Cincy's a good basketball school. Wichita State's in American Athletic Conference in basketball, and they're a good basketball school. And so it's a competitive league. It's in the basketball landscape, Tulane is in there, so they are playing decent competition year in year out in that conference. So again, you look at that, it's winnable. Definitely a winnable series, not series, it's a winnable tournament, but. Also, I think it challenges K-State, so I really think it's the perfect spot for them, Eddie, because it's not kind of just thrusting in to a bunch of just top 25 matchups, but it's going to give them some teams that can push them, that can challenge them. It would not surprise me at all if they lost the game down in the Cayman Islands as they try to work some things out, work some kinks out. You get a matchup against Nevada, doesn't go your way. Maybe Rhode Island's able to bite you and get you there in that first matchup. I definitely could see that happening, but I think that that's a good barometer for them early on.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Then later on next month, so now moving through the schedule, this is episode 126 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, Alex out there in San Diego, California. I'm here in Manhattan, Kansas, looking at the men's schedule here, folks, for first-year head coach Jerome Tang. Later on that month, November 30th, a couple days after Thanksgiving, the Big 12 Big East battle in Indianapolis. They're going to be taking on Butler. Woo, that's going to be a tough game there. That game's going to be on FS1 there, and then a couple days later, to start off the month of December, you get back Wichita State, one of my favorite games of the year last year, how that went down in Wichita, Kansas last year. Now you get the Shockers at home. I expect that crowd, a packed house. Obviously, you have a new regime and they've been promoting the Pat Bramlage, right? So you hope, for this K-State's sake, they can pack that thing and make it real raucous for Wichita State. I have that one circled there.
Oh, yeah.
And then a few days later, they turn around and host Abilene Christian. This is the team that made the tournament either last year or the year before. I can't remember which year it was, but this team is sneaky good as well. So this is not a gimme at all. That's December 6th. And then Incarnate Word. I had a question about that while looking at the non-con, when these non-con opponents came out there. But they're coming here to Manhattan on Sunday, December 11th. There, and then kind of to wrap up the non-con here, Nebraska, one of the teams that K-State beat last year in Lincoln. This time around, you got to go to T-Mobile Center. I still think of it as a Sprint Center. We have this conversation every time games in Kansas City. But T-Mobile Center, Nebraska, and K-State, yeah, I expect it to be a lot of purple there come December 17th. That's a 6 o'clock tip-off there. On the Big 12 Now, ESPN Plus will have that game. And then another doubleheader with women's basketball to wrap up non-con for K-State men's basketball against Radford. So kind of the back end of this non-con gets a little bit tougher, Alex. We talked about Butler and Wichita State. Back-to-back tough games right there. And then Abilene Christian is not going to give me there. They play teams tough, and actually we saw them in the NCAA tournament, Incarnate Word, then Nebraska there. They're kind of decent, but not that great, even though we kind of let them off the hook a little bit there before pulling away last year in Lincoln and Radford. So interesting, tough slate in the back end of non-con.
It is. You know, Eddie, looking at this particular part of the schedule, I think it kind of follows the trend that I was mentioning here when we're talking about the Cayman Islands Classic. You've got some games mixed in that are going to be challenging, but they're not going to be something that's really going to put K-State behind the eight ball and put them really in a bad position, in a position to lose. So I think Butler's a great example of that. Going on the road to Hinkle Fieldhouse, that's never easy. I mean, look, I don't care how much Butler sucks, Eddie. That's not easy. That's not an easy trip. That's not an easy trip in any stretch of the imagination. So you look at it. It's a game the K-State should probably win. But that's going to be challenging. And that's going to be a game that really pushes them. I fully expect that. I really do. And then coming home against Wichita State, what's Wichita State going to look like this year, Eddie? I don't know. I don't know. But what we do know is that Wichita State is going to be a competitive squad. They're a competitive squad every single year. And I don't expect it to be any different this year. I kind of look at it the same way as that Butler game. It's a game I think K-State should win if they're healthy. I think that they're going to be the bigger team. I think that they're going to be the more athletic team. They're going to be at home. And I'm with you, Eddie. I think that Bramlage should be rocking that night. That's going to be hard. I mean, that's going to be a hard game, and that's a rivalry game. You can say what it is. Those teams don't ever play, but that's a rivalry. Don't let it fool you, Eddie. We all know that.
Yeah.
We all know that. And interesting nugget, by the way, Eddie. That game is on Saturday, December 3rd, the same day as the Big 12 championship in football. So, I am not saying
don't do it.
That is not what I'm saying. But imagine what Saturday, December 3rd could be like if at 11 a.m. Central you are watching K-State football play in the Big 12 championship, and then, what, 8 hours later,
you're playing your basketball team.
Watching the basketball team play Wichita State.
Yep. That's one I'm going to circle as well. I'm interested in going to this one.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, 100%. If I was in Kansas City, I would buy tickets to this game. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I'm trying to think the last time Wichita State's even been in Manhattan to play K-State. The environment's going to be fantastic for that game, and I wouldn't expect anything less. Again, if K-State does make the Big 12 championship and a bunch of fans go down to Arlington and travel, maybe it'll be a little more difficult to pack Bramlage, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I think Bramlage will be packed regardless, and so we'll see what happens, but I really do. I'm really intrigued, and that's obviously the game that I've got circled on my schedule too. But then moving down quickly here, Abilene Christian, you mentioned a sneaky good team coming off of that Wichita State game as well. So wherever your emotions are, or the K-State's emotions are after that Wichita State game, they're gonna turn around quickly and get ready for Abilene Christian, a team that if you kind of or feel the effects of that matchup, and you don't show up for Abilene Christian, they're a team that can get you. And so K-State needs to be aware of that. And Carmen Ward, that's one that they should have. And then looking at Nebraska in the T-Mobile Center, again, Eddie, I just feel like so many of these games fall in the same category. Games that can push you, but you look at a lot of them and say, man, K-State should... I think K-State's a better team. I think they should win that. You've been saying that about Cal, saying that about Butler, saying that about Wichita State, and saying that now about Nebraska, saying that about Rhode Island. And you're looking at a lot of these matchups, and you look at it, and you're like, on paper, K-State should, but that's going to push them. And you know they're not going to win all those, but it is interesting. It's just a theme throughout this schedule. It's not a schedule... It's a schedule, Eddie, where it's going to get them prepared for Big 12 play, but it's not going to throw them in the deep end, right? It's not going to throw them up against the top 15 team, until they really get into Big 12 play. So that's kind of the common theme I see there. Radford should be a win. And then just kind of put a bow on this non-conference slate before we get into the conference schedule. Ultimately, Eddie, my takeaway in general from this schedule, aside from what I just said, that there's a lot of winnable games, but there's also a lot of games that are going to push this K-State squad a little bit, is that when you're looking at K-State and the potential of them being a tournament team, they're going to have to win a majority of these games. That's just the truth. If you are envisioning this K-State team having a shot at making the NCAA tournament, they need to have a good non-conference showing. They need to have a good knock-on show, Eddie. In my opinion, they can't lose more than two or three. I think that they need to keep the losses to two or three if they want to go into Big 12 play with a realistic shot at being able to be a tournament team. Because we know, Eddie, once you get into Big 12 play, man, you're going to be lucky to get to 500. You're going to be lucky to get to 500 and have a 500 record Big 12 play this year with how good and how deep the conference is. So you have got to be able to take advantage of that non-conference schedule. And the other thing you need to keep in mind, Eddie, is that non-conference schedule is going to, the Big 12 schedule is going to beef up your strength of schedule. That non-conference schedule is probably going to bring it down a little bit because you don't have a marquee matchup on that schedule to really just lift it up. So there's really no opportunities for what you would really call a quality win, Eddie. There's definitely some opportunities for some good wins, but there's really not an opportunity for a quality win on that non-conference schedule. So because of that, you can't lose a couple of these games, Eddie, and then just have bad losses. You've got to be able to take care of business in this non-con. Got to finish it with no more than two or three losses, and actually give yourself a chance to legitimately be a contender in the tournament discussion. Because again, if you have 4 or 5 losses in that non-conference schedule, Eddie, I just don't think you can make it up in the Big 12, in Big 12 play. I think the Big 12 is too hard. I think it's too steep of a hill to climb, and just looking at the way the schedule breaks, I just think that's too much to ask. So it's going to be important that, yeah, they can lose a game here or there, Eddie, but they can't lose 2 in a row. They can't lose 3 in a row unless they go on a run and actually have a fighter's chance at making the tournament. So I'm eager to see if they can take care of business in a schedule that is a little bit lighter in the knock-on.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the Big 12 SEC Challenge in here. Skipping all the way down to the end of the month for next year, January 28th, the showdown when Keontae Johnson's former team, Florida, comes to Bramlage as well. That could be a swing game there as well. So right smack in the middle of your conference schedule there as well. So that's one there that could, depending on what Florida is, I know they have a new coach there, and they're kind of building mold themselves there, so it kind of depends. But still, Florida's a marquee game right there. And the last time we played Florida, we beat them in Kansas City a few years ago there. I was there for that matchup, so let's not forget about that one. That's a huge game, and it's better than playing a damn A&M or Ole Miss or something like that.
Oh, get them off the schedule, dude. I want to see those teams.
Holy smokes.
Say Ole Miss, A&M, like, come on, yeah.
Yeah, we finally got a good, decent opponent there as well. So I'm excited for that one as well. I got that one circled as well. But the conference schedule for K-State begins on the final day of 2022, December 31st, where they will play at home in Bramlage. And time is yet to be announced for this one. Interesting. All the rest of these games are mostly time except this one. West Virginia, who's preseason number 9. So no time for that one yet. I'm pretty sure we'll get one in a little while. But yeah, that's interesting. No time to be determined there for the first conference game for Jerome Tang right here in Manhattan, Kansas on the last day of the year. And then you flip the calendar to 2023 on January 3rd, where K-State goes on the road and plays Texas. Woo! So that will be interesting there. And then this one. Everybody's got this one circled. I'm sure Jerome Tang has circled as well. Gotta go return to Baylor. January 7th, baby. Big 12 Now, ESPN Plus will have it on the app right there. That's a huge game right there. So that's gonna be a return of some emotions right there for Jerome Tang as well. And seeing some old friends as well. January 10th. Back at home against Oklahoma State. These games with Oklahoma State last year was something else, especially the last game there, which was pretty much a dagger, in my opinion, there, in case they had any chance to stay in the hunt for the NCAA tournament there. Oklahoma State snuffed it out there. One of the more classic games last year. We were on the end of the wrong stick on that one. Oklahoma State, January 10th. TCU, you got to go to Fort Worth on the 14th of January, and then the showdown. Dylan Sunflower Showdown, Part 1. Jerome Tang is going to look forward to this. KU comes here to Manhattan January 17th there, and then, once again, January 21st, another doubleheader with the women's basketball team in Bramlage. The men will be taking on Texas Tech. That won't be easy there. And then the trip in the annual trip games at Iowa State, the 24th of January, and of course after that it's the Florida game 4 days later. So that's half the schedule right there if you include the Big 12 SEC Challenge there. And a swing here, I'm already looking at the first 4 games, key for Jerome Tang. Yes, I'm including West Virginia in there. Yep, I know they're preseason number 9 in the conference there, but look at Texas. Texas is 3rd, preseason number 3. Baylor's number 1, Priest number 1, and Oklahoma State here. Oklahoma State's 5, tied with Tech there as well. So, again, you mentioned it, Alex. Not very easy, but again, stacked from top to bottom. Again, you got to bring your A game every night.
You do, Eddie, and you know, no pressure on this men's team, but boy, I would really advise them to get that first game I really think that is going to be an important game to get. Quickly want to bubble back, by the way, to last year. If we all recall, K-State opening conference play, I believe it was at Oklahoma, and they had a winnable game. They had a winnable game that they could get, and they weren't able to get it. And it really just kind of bit them in the rear because that schedule got tight. That schedule got tight and difficult. They started off Big 12 play in a slump, Eddie, in a big slump, and they just never could really get up off the mat. They got up, and they wobbled a little bit. They took a few steps. They got hot for a minute, but that was about all they could do, and then they fell back down. So that first game, it is important to set the tone, especially when you got to go on the road to Texas and to Baylor. Two games that realistically, Eddie, you're probably going to lose. So if you're looking at that Big 12 schedule, look, I'm sorry. I want me to lie to the people.
No, I say that. Nope.
I can lie to the people. No, look, I think that they could have more opportunity. I think they have a better shot of winning, pulling an upset like that. Probably like later in the year, once they're like gel a little bit more. And we're, you know, a little more comfortable playing with each other. Granted, they'll probably be pretty comfortable eventually playing with each other. But point being is they're not going to Baylor and win it. I'd be stunned if they go to Baylor and win. That will be an emotional game for Jerome Tang. There will be a lot of storylines behind it. I don't see any way that's actually going to be a game K-State's going to have an opportunity to get. I just don't see that. Maybe they can play competitive in Manhattan. Don't see it in Farrell Center. And look, yeah, Jerome Tang will be motivated going up against this whole team, but Andre Scott will be motivated going up against his own system. I don't think he wants to lose Jerome Tang either. So
no.
I don't think he does. So again, that's what I'm not expecting a win there, but that gets back to the West Virginia game at home. It's so important that you can get that one, because if you drop those next two on the road, you shall come home against Oklahoma State in a game that you would assume is winnable, will be difficult. Oklahoma State's going to be good. You mentioned they're predicted to finish fifth. I do think they'll be a decent neutral team, but that's a winnable game. Winnable game against Oklahoma State at home before you have two really difficult games again. Eddie, I don't mean to sound like a downer, but it's going to be tough for them to get the next two at TCU and KU at home. TCU is going to be a really good team. They've got everybody coming back. They got the preseason player of the year in their team. They're going to be a top 15, top 10 squad in the country. And then you've got KU. They're the national champs. And, yeah, they're coming to your building. And, yeah, I think K-State has the ability to knock KU off in an upset at home.
Had a chance to do it last year. Didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can do it. I mean, I've seen it enough where I knew they could do it. But those are going to be two difficult games. So you look at these first six, Eddie. Four of these six, you look at and go, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. And then you see two of them at home, the West Virginia one and the Oklahoma State one. And you say, golly, you got to get those are ones you really want to have if you can. If you really, really want to be able to get those games, if you can. So I look at West Virginia. I look at Oklahoma State. I say, you got to find a way to get those games. And then if you can, when you make the turn here, you're going to have Tech at home. Tech is good every year. I expect them to be better than what they're predicted. But you get Tech at home. You go at Iowa State, and you get Florida at home. That's a little stretch there, Eddie, where if you can, you know, once you get KU out of the way and the Sunflower Showdown, you got a shot where you can go on a little run, I think, there from what, late January into really the beginning of February. So I look at that that's kind of the term where you can get hot. So this is tough. I mean, it's a tough schedule coming out of the gates. I think that the schedule may break a little bit better for them on the back half. But looking at it early on, there's going to be no part of this Big 12 schedule that it's going to be easy. And so for me, again, it comes down to that West Virginia game, that Oklahoma State game. And then you can get through those, if you have a couple wins going into that Tech game at home, then maybe you can string a couple together between Tech, Iowa State, and Florida to give you a little bit of momentum before you go in for your annual colonoscopy in Allen Fieldhouse on January 31st.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yeah, your annual beatdown in Lawrence. Yes. That's a perfect.
It's never fun at all.
Perfect transition into this rest of the non-con after the Big 12 SEC Challenge. This is the Purple Project Podcast, episode 126. First of two weekly episodes for you guys this week. This will be recorded, this is recorded on Monday night, late Monday night, October 17th. Won't be out until this Wednesday for you guys. And then, of course, our TC preview will be coming out on Friday. We'll be me and Alex and our special guest will be coming. We're recording on Thursday night as well. Yeah, that's the perfect transition. Every year, it happens every year. Jerome Tang, will things change or will things stay the same? That would be the question. January 31st, where K-State will hop on the bus and travel an hour east to Lawrence there for the Allen Fieldhouse Showdown Part 2.
84 miles, buddy.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly right there for that KU Showdown there. And then February 4th, at home, Texas, it will be a stripe out game. I'm interested to see this. So how Bramlett's going to play out with all this. So interesting.
One year when I was in college, we had a stripe out game. One time.
I
don't ever remember K-State doing stripe out games aside from one game.
No, I've been to some where there was a, I know I've been to one. Been to two when I was a student. One of them was a blackout game.
Yeah, mine was a blackout. It was against Texas.
Yeah, and then the other one was a whiteout. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. I went to a whiteout, I think, against Oklahoma State.
I'm trying to think. I think that whiteout.
They did a stripe out. You know how I remember they did a stripe out? Because they put shirts out in each section, and I still have mine. They had Power Cats on them. And there was purple shirts with a white Power Cap, and then white shirts with a purple Power Cap. And I feel like it was one of my later years when they sucked, my junior or senior year. So you wouldn't have been there, I don't believe, at that point, Eddie. Because I don't think it was one of those 2 years when they were actually good. Well, actually, let me reword that. They were good my junior year. Yeah, they made that NCAA tournament. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think it was my senior year, Eddie. When they were supposed to be really good and they sucked. But I could be wrong. I can't remember. But I remember one strikeout game. And then I remember a whiteout game or a blackout game. Or maybe I'm dreaming, Eddie. Maybe the strikeout game was football. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting my sports mixed up. Because I know they did a strikeout game against Mississippi State football, too. So I could be thinking of that. Either way, they're going to have a strikeout game against Texas. I know that.
Yeah, I know for sure. As a student, I didn't go to a strikeout game. I know I'd bring to a blackout game. I think that game.
I might be thinking Mississippi State football game because I know they did a strikeout game for that.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think. I was gonna say. Yeah, I think that blackout game I went to was against Missouri when they were still here as a Big 12 opponent. Because that was my first. I think that was my first basketball game at Bramlage, and it was packed, loud, everything else like that. So. That's how I remember that.
And I went to a blackout game against Texas my senior year, and I do remember that one well, because that was a game where K-State wore their black unis, Texas wore their whites, and K-State was sucking, and they were playing like crap, and we were all like, what the hell is wrong with this team? They were supposed to like win the Big 12, and they looked like garbage, and they lost. Yeah, they lost. I can't remember who it was, Eddie. They had one of those freshmen, one of those big-time freshmen that year. had a big game where he was nailing a few threes, and that was who was that? I can't remember who it was. He had one big game, and then he transferred. Can't remember his name.
Why are you thinking about that? I was literally running down the rest of the schedule. Why are you thinking about that person for a minute there?
I don't want to think about that person. Okay, I'd rather think about this team, Eddie, because that team sucks.
Fair enough. TCU, after the strikeout game against Texas, so this is an interesting home slate there. So Texas and TCU at home, February 4th and the 7th there. That's a Saturday and a Tuesday. That TCU game is prime time, 8 o'clock on ESPNU. Then you get two on the road in Lubbock. That dreadful drive to Lubbock against Texas Tech there. 6 o'clock tip there, February 11th, and I shouldn't say dreadful, I should say raucous crowd at Texas Tech there. They have become one of the more difficult places to play down there as well.
I hear the loudest crowd in the Big 12.
Yeah, we talked about that last year.
I think they're the loudest. KU's the toughest to play, but I think Texas have the loudest crowd.
Yeah, and then you got to go to Oklahoma there. In Norman, February 14th there, so that's an interesting road stretch there for the Cats there. And then you're entering a point where it's going to get late in the schedule where you have to have Iowa State and Baylor. Those are back-to-back home games there, Saturday, February 18th, and Tuesday, February 21st. Iowa State's part of that Bramlage bundle there. I'll explain that in a little bit. Baylor, K-State proud game. That will be an interesting game there. You mentioned it. I think they'll play Baylor tougher at home. I'm with you on that one, Alex, there. And then the last three games, you got to travel to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State there late, depending on where they're at. It could be an interesting game for seeding for the Big 12 tournament later. And then Oklahoma, you host Oklahoma. So you have two out of three road games to end the Big 12 conference season for 2022-2023. Oklahoma State, West Virginia. So you start this year, you start the conference play with West Virginia, and you end it with West Virginia. That's the same thing as women's basketball. You start off with Texas, you end with Texas. So same thing with the men. But the opponent's different in pesky West Virginia. And sandwiched in there is good old Oklahoma on senior night.
Yeah, you know. So we obviously mentioned the annual colonoscopy in Lawrence. So once you get done with that, and you actually get into February, I think the back half of the schedule is not a lot, but a little easier than the front half. Texas and TCU. Two good teams, no doubt about it. You got them both at home, though. I like K-State's shot. Chances, Eddie, of splitting that, being able to get one of those two. Probably be difficult to get both of them because they're both probably going to be top 15 teams, top 20 teams. But I like your chances of being able to pull an upset, one of those two. I do. I think that would be, you mentioned a spot, and I said I don't see it early. I think that that's a spot. You can see it upset against one of those two teams, in my opinion, on that homestand. And then on the road, you go to Tech, you go to Oklahoma. I think Tech's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think AC's got a shot at Tech at home. I think it's going to be tough on the road. But I do think that they go to Oklahoma and get a win. I do think that that's possible. So
yeah.
I look at that little two-game road trip, and I think they can split there as well. So I think that they can split against Texas and TCU at home, and I think they can split against Tech and Oklahoma on the road, and you're looking at 2-2 and 4 there. And then you come home for Iowa State, and you come home for Baylor. And I don't think they're going to beat Baylor. I think they'll play in better. I think it'll be more competitive. But I don't think that they'll win that game. But you got Iowa State at home, and I think Iowa State's a winnable game there. If you can come out and you can play well there, maybe you can be 3-3 in that 6-game stretch to open February, which I would absolutely take a 3-3 stretch there. Maybe not. Maybe you're sitting at 2-4, but I think 3-3 is possible there. And then you look at that last three that you've got. Oklahoma State on the road, that's tough. And, it's tough, but it's winnable, if that makes sense. Like, let me put it this way, Eddie. Between Oklahoma State and West Virginia on the road, I think they get one. I think, again, we keep talking about these splits. I think they're able to get one. I think they're able to get one of those. One of those two. I don't think they'll get both. I think that's asking too much for, for them to go to Oklahoma State. Really tough. Both places are tough to play. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State's really tough to play. Gallagher-Iva, when it's rocking. And down in Morgantown, man, when it's rocking there, too. Two tough places to play. But I think they can get one. I think they can get one of those. And then I like the chances against Oklahoma at home on Senior Day. I really do. I think that one is a good is a good one for them to end with at home, and I like their chances. So really, looking at the back half of the schedule, Eddie, once February turns, I think they can go about 500. I really think they can go about 500 in February. So again, we'll see. We'll see the way the schedule shakes out, but I think it's a little more favorable here on the back half. And I think 500 is something that they can realistically do. Maybe a game over 500, maybe a game under 500. But, well, it's going to have to be one or the other because I think it's an odd number of games. But I think you're going to be around that 500-ish mark there. I do. So I think it's going to be a little bit easier. And honestly, Eddie, I think that that, again, emphasizes just how important the beginning of that schedule is. When you look at the back half and you say, okay, that's more favorable. K-State should go about 500. That shows you that they got to win this game, in my opinion, in the front half that you need to win. I mean, you've got to be West Virginia at home, man. You've got to beat Oklahoma State at home. You got to get those games. Because going to Texas, going to Baylor, it's going to be tough, man. Going to TCU, beating KU at home, that's going to be tough. I mean, those are four games that are going to be really tough for those first six. And then, again, things will lighten up. And I think K-State can get on a run a little bit with Tech at home, Iowa State on the road, and Florida at home. But I still don't expect them to beat KU at home. I still don't expect them to beat both Tech and Iowa State. And I do not expect them to go to Lawrence and win. So when you're looking at the schedule like that, it again, just I keep harken back to the beginning of the schedule, but I just think that that is where it's going to be so important, because if you can't get the West Virginia game, you can't get the Oklahoma State game, you could legit be heading near the end of January looking at a Big 12 record of potentially 1-5 or 0-6. And then you know, you're going into Tech, and maybe you're able to beat Tech, or maybe you're able to upset Iowa State. But then you got to go at KU, and then you could potentially be looking at like 2-7 or something like that. And you just, all of a sudden, you're playing from behind. You're playing from behind going into that back half of the schedule where, yeah, I think K-State can go 500 in the back half of the schedule, but if you're five games below 500 in Big 12 play, you're just going to be trying to catch up all year. And that's not what you want to do. That's not what you want to do. And that's what we saw last year. Again, circle back to last year again. We saw them start slow in Big 12 play, and they were playing from behind all year long. They start 0-1. They had COVID. Remember, COVID hit them real good. So they started Big 12 play like, what, 1-5? Or I think it was somewhere around there. It was somewhere around like 1-5. And
you might be right on that. I can't remember, but you might be right on that.
It was somewhere around there because they lost a couple. I remember they lost a couple close games, and they got COVID. And
they lost to Oklahoma because remember that one.
Yeah, they lost to Oklahoma, and then they lost a heartbreaker at home, and then they were playing shorthand because of COVID, and then they had like six players. Yeah, I remember, and I remember very well. So they got into like one of these holes. It was like a 1-5 hole, and they just couldn't get out of it. And they had their moments. They got up, and they started walking a little bit on that map, but they just could not get enough momentum. Their hole was too big. They never could get enough traction. And that's my fear with this team. That is my fear with this team. If you just can't get going enough in the beginning of that schedule, if you dig yourself too deep of a hole, you could really just be in trouble. And yeah, you maybe can, you know, get hot there in the back half of the schedule a little bit, but is it enough? Is it enough to get you where you want to go? Especially if you do lose four games in conference and non-con play. I'll go back to the non-con again. This is another example why you have got to take care of business in non-con. We talk about these games that are, oh yeah, they're tough, but K-State should win. There are no games like that in Big 12 play. Big 12 play is a freaking bloodbath, man. Freaking bloodbath. You've got to win the games on your schedule this year that you're supposed to win. Just because, like, every year, Big 12 is freaking brutal. So, the back half of scheduling is a little bit easier, Eddie. But when you say, hey, it's a little bit easier and it breaks K-State's way and you're still talking about 500, it stresses how important it is to win the games that you can on the front half of that Big 12 slate.
Yeah, and quickly here, before we check out the non-con for women's basketball here, real quick, yeah, you mentioned this, I believe, in one of the past weekly episodes. You got to win basketball games, and I said this every time, whether it's volleyball or soccer, got to try to win these games at home. And you've seen the effect, even though, well, soccer, there could be, if they can get the game this weekend, they could be tricking up 500. We'll just have to see about that. But again, those can come out and bite you if you don't get those games. And we talk about the whole honeymoon phase and whatnot. Yeah, this is why I said I want to see this team together, playing together, in action, before I make any more judgment on if they're going to make NCAA tournament or not. So, you got to get out, and that includes getting off to a good start. You have to get off to a good start.
You're not going
to
be Cole. You're not going to be Cole Manbeck predicting them to finish in the top four of the Big 12. And get it be comfortable in the tournament, Eddie?
Nope.
You're not predicting that?
I'll wait until, how they look at non-con.
Eddie, I am kidding. Trust me, I am not jumping on that train.
I'm not jumping on that. I can't do it.
That is too far. That is too far. I have been steadfast in the camp that I was in last year, Eddie. Goals should be to make the NCAA tournament at the least. Be a bubble contending team.
Yeah,
That is what the expectation should be. I get it. They got Keontae Johnson. I get it. Maybe they exceed our expectations.
But yeah, but that's a 100% healthy Keontae Johnson.
Exactly, though. And that leads right into it. You got a million questions on this basketball team. There's like a million. Well, let's just be honest, Eddie. There are more questions than answers on this team. And by a wide margin. There are a gazillion questions about that team. There's just so much you don't know.
I don't know much. 100%. And the press conference. I haven't heard since the opening press conference from Ting. I heard nothing. I didn't know what's going on. Maybe it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know.
The only thing I hear is him engaging with students on Hang with Tang.
I have to go to the couch. Find out what's going on, man. What's up, man?
You know what? Hey, that's what we need to do. Next time they have the couch out, you need to go to the couch. He's going to be like, Eddie, what's going on? You're going to be like, I need to know more about this basketball team. I'm hearing nothing from you. Like, what's going on? How are they looking, man?
I can probably pull it off still.
This is an impromptu press conference, okay? On the couch. So, get ready and get going. Although, again, I will say, though, Yorick Malagi did have the, was on the pod, three ball last week talking about the squad.
Yeah, I heard that. I listened to that one. Yep.
So, you know, there were some insights there. But I'm with you, Eddie. We still haven't heard a lot yet. And so, again, Big 12 Media Days is going to be a big thing. I'm definitely curious to hear what they have to say because we haven't heard anything in a while.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 126 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition continues with the basketball schedule edition of this podcast. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. That's me out there. Alex Aiden out there out west in San Diego, California here. Turn the page. Again, real quick, yes, Jerome Tang, yeah, he needs to win basketball games. That's just the bottom line there on that. We'll talk about that more as the basketball season approaches. Switching gears real quick here to the women's schedule. And we already talked about the conference schedule anyways, for Jeff Mitty in the case of women's squad. And now we're going to focus in on only the non-con, which is pretty interesting and tough for this team. And oh, by the way, preseason poll on the women's side, Iowa State, number one, barely 1 point ahead of Texas, 75-74, OU third, Baylor fourth, KU fifth, ahead of K-State sixth. By the way, K-State were just courteous, 37 points. Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and TCU, ouch, with 10 points there. They had a difficult year last year there.
They were not good.
They were not good. That's easy way to put it here in a podcast. Yeah. They're not good at all. And K-State behind KU in there. And now, you know the big news by now. If you don't, K-State Nation, no Ayoka Lee for this year, which means a difference. And we're definitely going to see a different brand of basketball from this squad. So we'll see how that's going to transpire. And at least for the women, I actually talked about this with the men only having one preseason game. At least the girls team has two of them. For Hays State, October 31st. Hey, that's 2 weeks away, man. We're going to find out real quick how they're going to progress without Ayoka Lee. And then they got Newman November 4th. These were both home games as preseason games. And then you open at home with a doubleheader with men's basketball against Central Arkansas, 5:30. That's like a Monday afternoon game. So Central Arkansas, they open up the year for Jeff Mitty again here at K-State. And now, interesting stretch right here. But you have these girls at home. Wisconsin and Iowa, two Big Ten opponents here. Friday is Wisconsin, Friday, November 11th at 3:30. Tip there. That's going to be on the big network there. Actually, hang on a second here. I'm looking at this right. This is actually going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good thing I looked this up as well. So this is not going to be here at Ramblin'. So I take that bet. But however, the Iowa game is in Iowa, finished second in the conference last year. This is going to be it. I thought this was going to be one of the good games with Ayoka Lee in here. Now Ayoka Lee out. Whew, I have no idea what's going to happen here. Iowa last year made the NCAA tournament 23-7, and they finished tied for top. Their co-Big 12, not Big 12, Big 10, my goodness, Big 10 championships last year. Iowa, that's November 17th here in Bramus Coliseum. That's going to be part of a doubleheader with the men's basketball schedule here. I still have that pulled up. Yep. Let's see. Hang on a second here. Yep, that's prime time, baby. Prime time. So it looks like the ladies will end November 17th under lights against Iowa, and then while the men's team host KC in Manhattan. So, get your popcorn ready for that day. Thursday, packed with basketball all the way around there. And then here's that team again, Texas Rio Grande for the women on the fall right after that. So, yeah, back-to-back games right there. So you don't have a day off in between there. Really interesting there. And then Utah Tech, November 20th. There as well. I don't know much about them. That's a 1 o'clock tip on Sunday, November 20th as well. So again, you're going to get the test, Alex, right off the bat with Wisconsin. Wisconsin finished second half of the Big Ten last year. They finished eight. Look at their record on paper last year, Alex, 8-21. That's a signal of a bad basketball team. 5-13 in the comments last year. Hey, I'm just calling what it is. You know how we do on the podcast.
That's right. We're honest.
But Iowa, that is going to be that is no gimme. Iowa is a pretty damn good team.
First off, is Utah Tech like a new school?
I've never heard of it. Nope.
Like, is that a new college? I've never heard of Utah Tech. Never, ever, ever. What? Interesting. Well, first off, before we get into that, I do just want to, ironically enough, this was just a great coincidence, that the preseason Talk 25 did come out for the men's basketball today. And just to give people, I apologize if this was already mentioned, Eddie, and I missed it, but Baylor and KU both are ranked fifth. They're tied for fifth in the country. They have the same amount of votes. And Texas is at 12th. So Texas at number 12. TCU at 14, which does not surprise me. I figured TCU would be in that top 15. And then sneaking into the top 25 is Texas Tech. Texas Tech at number 25. So you have got, it looks like you've got, what, 5 of the 10 in the top 25 at the moment. So that's kind of the way that it shakes out. Shout out, by the way, San Diego State coming in at number 19.
Of course, you're going to do that.
I did not know anything they were supposed to be that good this year. So, interesting. Interesting. I'm trying to see if any other cases, non-con numbers are in here. And it looks like Creighton is 9. Interesting. Did not know Creighton was supposed to be that good. It's going to be interesting, issue when season rolls around, Eddie, and how some of this goes. But anyway, I just want to read that off, just to go over the context of our past conversation. Jumping into the conversation now, there's not a top 25 out yet for women's, but I will use a too early top 25 as my barometer when you were looking at the team. And first off, just to set the stage quickly for the Big 12 legs, I know we talked about it before we get into knockoff leg. The too early to tell. Top 25 that I'm looking, women's top 25 I'm looking at, has Texas at 4. It has Iowa State at 7. So that's, and Oklahoma at 10. So that would be 3 in the top 10. If that was true, again, that's a too early to tell. But that, look, that all sounds right. Those are 3 really good teams. The 3 top teams in the Big 12, you would assume. Which is ironic, because Baylor is not in that list. But yeah, so that's kind of the way it shakes out. It had KU at 21. I don't know how I feel about that. But Baylor at 25, I would assume Baylor's going to be higher than KU. You read it off the Big 12 preseason poll. I think that's a little more in line with what this is showing. But point being, Big 12 is going to be really good, and the women's as well. And jumping into this non-con, kicking things off, I think that it breaks pretty well for them. Again, you mentioned the exhibition games. They get a couple. And I think I mentioned this when we talked about their schedule last time. I'm happy that they're getting two because you've got no way to believe. You've got a lot to figure out. And you've got 2 games to do it. So you got 2 games to get on the court, get some live game action. And I really think that is going to benefit them before they play Central Arkansas and kick things off on November 7th, same day that the men's team does on that doubleheader night. So we'll see what happens there, with Fortnite State, Newman, and those exhibitions. But I think Central Arkansas is going to be a good kickoff to the season. But after that, buckle up, because you got Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and you got Iowa at home, and those are going to be challenging, to say the least. So Iowa, I think that they're definitely going to be a top 10 team. I would be stunned if they were not a top 10 team. We know that they have got, they had the nation's, what was her name, Eddie? I'm blanking on it now. The Iowa player, she was the leading scorer in women's basketball. I'm blanking on her name at the moment, but one of the best players in women's college basketball is on that Iowa team. She can score a million points. She's on the Iowa League can score a lot. Wait until you see her play. So Iowa in Bramlage, going to be a tremendously difficult game. Would have loved to see Iowa League in that matchup. Against two of the highest scoring, or two of the best.
Just to cut in here real quick. That player is Caitlin Clark. She's a junior.
Caitlin
now.
Clark, there you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
There you go, Caitlin Clark, and she can score the basketball, man. She is a beast, man, a beast. on the court. And so it would have been very interesting to see Caitlin Clark and Taylor Lee, two of the top scorers in college basketball. Not going to see it, but still going to be quite the challenge, to say the least, for that women's team. And then and then you look at Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to be quite on that level. I think that's more of a winnable matchup.
That is winnable. They're 8-21.
Yeah, so that's going to be more of a winnable matchup. But look, you're going on the road. It's your second fair. Game of the year.
That's fair. Yep.
You know, in Milwaukee. They didn't have a good year last year. It's more winnable, but you're still going to be figuring things out. It's going to be game two. You're going to be on the road. You know, there's just a lot of factors there that are going to make that a tricky game. So we'll see. And look, you're going to have Iowa coming up next, too. So you definitely don't want to overlook Wisconsin.
Yeah, game,
looking at Iowa. And then just to round things out here early, before they get into the Paradise Jam, Rio Grande Valley, K-State's playing on every sport apparently this year. And so hopefully they can win.
Except football.
Football is the one sport they're not playing in there. And Utah Tech, the school that apparently was invented within the last couple of years. I don't know who they are. Never heard of them before. But you've got them before you go into that Paradise Jam, where it is going to be interesting. As you square off against some other schools there with Clemson and then who was the other one? Clemson and too many tabs open. Clemson and Arkansas. So those will be a couple other interesting ones. But going into the Paradise Jam, Eddie. Before you play, you go down to St. Thomas and play some good squads. Iowa's gonna be tough, but I think K-State legit can be 4-1 going into that Paradise Jam.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Paradise Jam here. I'm gonna combine these real quick. The Paradise Jam and the rest of non-con here as we begin to wind down this episode here on the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 126. Clemson is the first opponent for K-State Women's Basketball, the Paradise Jam in St. Thomas. I was just looking at Clemson's record, 10-21 last year overall, 3-15 in the ACC. That's not going to cut it. That should be a winnable game right there. Northern Arizona is smacked in the middle of Clemson and Arkansas. There, that's a fry. So this Paradise Jam, November 24th through the 26th, is where Jeff Mitty's ladies will be taking off at. That's around Thanksgiving time right there. So Clemson, and then Friday afternoon, you play Northern Arizona, and then Arkansas to kind of wrap things up there at the Paradise Jam. Interesting slate of games right there. And then you turn the page, you get a few weeks off here, not a few weeks off, a few days here. December 4th, you pick it up with Houston. That's going to be an interesting game there. Here in Bramers Coliseum, that's going to be Junior Wildcats Club Day there. That's a 1 o'clock tip Sunday afternoon. And then there's the UMKC again. Everybody's playing them except for football. I believe golf and another team, I think. I don't know, but I can't remember what I know. Both teams are playing UMKC. Volleyball played them earlier this year. So that's going to be Fort Riley's Operation Santa Night, 6:30 December 7th. And then the rest of non-con before we already went over the Big 12 schedule for the women's a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. You can definitely find that. It's in the archives of the Purple Project Podcast. But of course, okay, so South Dakota State, Northern Colorado, and Morgan State. So you're going to be at home. That's a stretch of games there. 1-2 Kansas City, South Dakota State, 3 Northern Colorado, that's 4, and then Morgan State, that includes a doubleheader with men's basketball, And I still have that up. I do. Yep. Let's see who they're playing. Men's basketball. Radford. Radford, that is a Wednesday 1:30 tip for Radford for the men's side. And the women, that's going to be an early 11 a.m. tip, baby. So you're not getting a night. This is not a nightcap. This is going to be a morning afternoon show, folks. Starting with women's basketball, Morgan State. So, Alex, women's going to be home the rest of the way. You get Houston, UMKC, South Dakota State, Northern Colorado, and Morgan State, five in a row. And, of course, we already talked about Big 12 a while back. But then you start off with Texas. So, hopefully, K-State women can figure some things out and do some home cooking in that stretch.
Yeah, that is the hope, Andy. That is the hope. And with the women's team, and you look at their schedule, the way it breaks out. I mentioned that. Yeah, it's a tough non-con. But with that said, going into the Paradise Jam, you very well could really only have one loss. That's absolutely possible. You've got a tricky one. There, as we mentioned, against Wisconsin, but if you can go take care of business against Wisconsin, then you could put yourself in a position where you potentially only have one loss going into that Paradise Jam. And, looking at Clemson, you should beat them. They won 10 games last year, I think.
Only 10 games last year. Yep.
Yeah, 10 games last year. So that's one that you should be able to get if you're playing well, even without a open week. And in Northern Arizona, same thing. That's one that you should probably get as well.
And just to cut in here real quick before you finish. Arkansas, the last opponent in that Paradise Jam for Casey Wins basketball team. Arkansas finished middle of the pack last year, 18-13, 7-9 in the conference in ACC. So,
exactly, and that's the one I would expect them to probably drop of the three. I think they can get Clemson, get Northern Arizona. I think Arkansas is one that could potentially trip them up. I do think that is possible. With Oakley, I would like Casey's chances there. Without Oakley, that's one where I think that you feel the absence of her, and you potentially have a couple losses. Going out of that, but then you get out of that and you kind of hit the stretch run here. You have Houston at home, a future Big 12 matchup.
Very
up 2023, and so here for that. But again, same thing that we've been discussing here. You've got a game that's going to be winnable. But you're playing a legit squad. This isn't Utah Tech. Watch, I swear if they lose to Utah Tech, I'm not like an idiot. But this isn't Utah Tech. This is Houston. Houston's a pretty good squad. Last year they went 18-16, 7-9 in the American Athletic Conference. So they're gonna be they're definitely a good, competent squad, but it's a game that K-State can win and probably should win if they come out and they play well. So if you can get past that one, UMKC at home. South Dakota State's not going to be easy. It's never easy. You're playing a municipal auditorium. So I expect that one to be a barn burner. It was a barn burner last year. And then you've got Northern Colorado, Morgan State, a couple of you should win. So. Between Houston and South Dakota State, maybe you drop one. Maybe you drop one above and finish with three losses in non-con play. But, looking at this schedule, this non-con schedule is not as hard overall as it was last year, where they had West South Carolina and NC State and Oregon. And just a crazy streak of top 15, top 20 teams. And I think this is more favorable, and that's probably a good thing. That's probably a good thing. Iowa is obviously your marquee matchup. I think that's going to be pretty difficult. And you do have some names on there on your schedule, but I think that they're winnable. I do think they're winnable. I kind of like the men's the men's non-fight, Eddie. The women's team, the Big 12 is going to be so good, at least in the top half. In the women's, it's not going to be. It's going to the women's is a little different because I think it's going to be really top heavy, but I think the bottom's just going to suck. So no offense to TCU, no offense to Tech, Oklahoma State, but like I don't think they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be good teams. But the top is going to be freaking loaded, and so when you look at the men's squad, I think that everyone's going to be good, 1-10. By the way, this is football right now, but I just don't think that's the way it's going to be in the women's. So you're going to have some really tough games. You're going to have some games that you should win, and in this non-con schedule, if you can come out of there, Eddie, with only 3 losses, going into that Big 12 schedule that we've already broke down, that I have laid out on a month or two ago on the podcast, that I think breaks relatively reasonable K-State. Well, man, they can prove me wrong. They can prove me wrong. This schedule breaks out, in my opinion, more favorably from beginning to end for them than it does for them. I do believe that. I think that there's spots where they can get tripped up in an on-con, and I think that there's spots where they're going to take a beating in the Big 12 schedule, but the Big 12 schedule is so balanced with, like, good and bad teams throughout that I don't see really any, like, extended losing streak opportunities in it, and that's going to kind of break it up. I think that's going to help them, the fact that you're not playing Iowa State, Baylor, KU, and then Oklahoma, like, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Like, you don't have that. That's not in the schedule. It's really kind of broken out, and it's kind of, you know, you got a couple really good teams, and you got a couple winnable ones. You got a couple really good ones, and you got a winnable one. And then in the non-con, like you said, it's pretty favorable, and you assume, hey, man, they should have a shot against Clemson. They should have a shot against Houston. They should have a shot against Wisconsin. Heck, you know, Arkansas, they're, that's going to be a really tough one, but that's still a game that you're playing well that could be winnable. And, yeah, South Dakota State is going to be tough, but you're in Kansas City, now it could be winnable. And, you know, so again, I think the schedule breaks well for them all in all. And the one thing, yeah, like, that they have going for them and don't, is that I just feel like that schedule is going to be a little easier just because of the way it's laid out.
Yep. I like it. So we'll see what happens there with women and men's basketball squads this upcoming basketball season here. It's right around the corner for both teams. Ladies, big tip-off in 13 days. The men in 14 days. It's going to be here before you know it. And mixed in there with K-State football here as well. So they're going to be entering their last stretch of games here to decide if they're going to go to Arlington or not on the football side of things as well. So we'll see how that turns out as well. Well, folks, that wraps it up with the preview of the men's basketball schedule for 2022 and the women's non-con for 2022 as we completely finish. We did talk about the Big 12 conference schedule for the women already. Go check that out. Find that episode. Check that out. As well, we have come to the end of the Purple Project Podcast episode 126. First of 2 episodes. This week, and of course, our Friday show, we'll have our special guest and something very, very well planned, folks. You already know that this is going to be our first big top 25 matchup. We've been clamoring for this all offseason. We finally got that. And we have another special guest for you guys as well. Something in store for you guys. Pro Project Podcast Nation. Cannot wait to record the episode on Thursday. And, of course, episode 127 will be out on Friday. So, jam-packed K-State action all over the place. Volleyball looking to bounce back on Wednesday. The golf team off to a tremendous start in Big 12 match play. Tennis finished up their individual play Stalker, off a win against OU, getting ready for KU showdown by the end of the week. There's a lot going on, of course, culminating with K-State and TC, which me and you, Alex, will break it down on Thursday. Final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, final thought, you know, for me is with the basketball schedule, Eddie, I said, just the board schedules are out, right? One team, I don't know, and I don't think that they're gonna.
Yeah, you put them under the bus already. You already put them on the bus already.
I said, I think this should be a tournament team. I think this is probably going to be a tournament team. And with the schedule coming out, and just a little bit more information, I think that tune has changed a little bit for me. I do. I think that the schedule, as I just mentioned, I think the schedule breaks better for me. I really do feel that way. I think that both of them have non-conference schedules that will challenge them a bit, but allow them to get the win. And I think both of them really tough conferences. But with that said, I really need to come down to the conference schedule. And I think the Asian women's team has a conference schedule that's a lot easier to navigate than the men's conference schedule. And I think it's less about I think number one is the fact that there are teams that are not good in the Big 12 and women, that they're not in. I think that's part of it, right? I think the other part of this too is that the men's team, when you look at their schedule, they've got strength games that are like, oh man, like that big game stretch, ooh, that's going to be tough. You know, you don't see that in the women's schedule because it's evenly dispersed with juggernaut, winnable game. I think that things are going to be a little easier for the women's team than I initially thought. I think things are going to be a little harder for the men's team than I initially thought. And so ultimately, Eddie, I'm going to kind of split the difference here going into the basketball season. And I think they're both going to be bubble contending teams. I don't know who will make the tournament. I don't know what will happen there. I still need men's team over the women's team because I think men's team has a better team than the women's team. But it's also more questions with the men's team. So the men's team has higher upside, but they have more question marks. And it's probably like a better conference even the Big 12 is crazy having the top five women. So ultimately, I mean, I'm just ready to get it going and get it underway. I will say this with this team. We mentioned it last week. You mentioned it earlier today. But the honeymoon phase is going to end for girls playing at some point. This game will get brutal when you get into the Big 12. So, and it's not just going to crash into that non-con schedule. So, everybody's in the hyper phase now, and I can't wait to get basketball season going. The buzz around Manhattan and around K-State is amazing. I love it. We have not seen buzz around a basketball program and a basketball team in a long time like that. But at some point, it's that hyper phase is going to end. About that with this club, what happens when adversity strikes? You know, next play mentality, keep hearing next play mentality, man. Here's the pre-session team all the time. We already know that. What happens? Can this team have that next play mentality when they're going through that gauntlet of the Big 12 schedule? It's a good question, and we'll see. And we'll see how these guys look together. We'll see how they gel together. We'll see if you get the key old Keontae. We'll see if Marquise can take a step. I mean, it's very intrigued to kind of see the way all this shakes out. Will Ish take a step? Another big question. And, you know, these transfers, can someone pop and become a dude? We'll see. And so the jury's still out, but I'm eager to get it going. I'm eager to get it going, and it's right around the corner, and we will have plenty of hoops to talk this fall and winter.
Yes, we will. We're going to put a pin on that right now on this podcast. Again, make sure, folks, you are subscribed to the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Big thanks again to you, my host, Alex Aiden, as usual. Eddie Greer back here in Manhattan, Kansas. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Purple Project Podcast. We will do it again later on this week. Alex, we look forward to later on in the week.
Yes, sir. I look forward to breaking down KKK to you.
Has sounded on another episode of the Purple Project Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll catch y'all on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Go Cats!